United States.
Lexington. Grown up in the USA. 40 years on, Bruce Springsteen's defining album still has something to teach Americans.
The physical and psychic wounds of war, the hollowing out of factory towns, the fear gnawing at working-class white men that their glory days are past. Born in the USA, the album that made Bruce Springsteen the global bard of the American Project came out 40 years ago this month. But it could as aptly describe the America of today, when polls suggest that just about everyone feels like a rider on a downbound train. What seems old-fashioned is the partisan ambiguity of Mr. Springsteen's messages, and with it, the stubborn hope. The title track in particular is remembered for being misunderstood by Republicans, who celebrated the music as patriotic without understanding its anguish and wrath. From the vantage of today, that takeaway is itself simplifying. It neglects some considerations. First, Democratic politicians also bore responsibility for many of the failures whose consequences Mr. Springsteen lamented, starting with the war in Vietnam. Second, though few would believe that Ronald Reagan, then the president, parsed the lyrics before citing Mr. Springsteen as evidence of American greatness, such ignorance cannot explain the enduring reverence for Mr. Springsteen by some conservatives, long after he made his partisan leaning clear. Chris Christie, a former governor of New Jersey, has attended more than 150 of his concerts. Most important, this political summary of the music obscures Mr. Springsteen's own sophistication. The album was full of despair, but it was not despairing. It was heartsore about America, but still patriotic. Mr. Springsteen told a radio interviewer, Terry Gross, in 2005, that his music had often been a football. Referring to the blaring refrain, "Born in the USA," that led some to hear an anthem to America as it was, he said, "In my songs, the spiritual part, the hope part, is in the choruses." But the details of what the song is moving to transcend, he went on to say, are almost always contained in the verses. Mr. Springsteen was doing something American partisans are losing the habit of, reckoning with ideas that were in tension with each other. And he believed in the power of rock music to draw people together. According to a new book about the album, "There Was Nothing You Could Do," by Stephen Hayden, a rock critic. In the mid-80s, a pop star could still position himself above politics and exist as a common touchstone that people with opposing ideologies could enjoy, Mr. Hayden writes. Those scare quotes suggest two questions relevant to today. Is it possible any more for a cultural figure to stand above politics? If so, would that even be the right thing to do? The answer to the first question, Mr. Hayden argues, is no. Taylor Swift is a star whose magnitude exceeds Mr. Springsteen's. She might be better compared to the artist who had the best-selling album of 1984, indeed of all time, Thriller. As Michael Jackson did, Miss Swift tends to dwell on the joyful and painful consequences of choices made within relationships, more than on the consequences for those relationships of broader socio-economic forces. However, after not endorsing a candidate for president in the 2016 election, Miss Swift faced severe criticism, and she later made her partisan preferences clear. Whether it can be right or constructive for any cultural figure to attempt to stand above politics is a harder question. Everyone has the right to speak up, and those with great influence should be admired for feeling a burden of responsibility to help make the world a better place. a professional football player who puts his career at stake to protest against injustice by taking a knee during the national anthem, is performing a patriotic act. By contrast, staying silent in the hope of reaching a broader audience can seem like a cynical one. Republicans buy sneakers too, Michael Jordan once noted, explaining his refusal to take the partisan plunge. Mr. Hyden cites the band Creedence Clearwater Revival as a precedent for Mr. Springsteen. Progressives and conservatives alike could sing along to Fortunate Son, and that was no accident. The band's members adopted a motto that did not exactly evoke the high-minded pursuit of an artistic vision. Creedence is like burgers. Back in the mid-1990s, Mr. Springsteen, who declined in 1984 to endorse either Reagan or his Democratic challenger, Walter Mondale, joked about the financial benefits of having had his politics misunderstood. A joke such as that would fall very flat in the America of 2024. The Boss campaigned for Hillary Clinton in 2016 and Joe Biden in 2020, when My Hometown, from Born in the USA, provided the theme music for an ad. For his part, Mr. Hyden laments the loss of the unifying dream he says Mr. Springsteen and similar artists gave him. That if Americans were not distracted by demagogues or culture wars, they could be drawn together by shared desires for community, dignity and security. What matters, he writes, is that Bruce did not make his audience choose a side. This does not seem quite right. Avoiding the partisan binary is not the same thing as avoiding politics. Mr. Springsteen's work has always been political, and it has always challenged his listeners, regardless of party, to choose a side. The side of the poor and struggling, those who still want to achieve the American dream even as it is eluding them or being denied them. That kind of empathy may come more easily when people cannot reflexively supply a partisan answer to all the hard questions about why American policymaking is failing those who need its support most. When executed with Mr. Springsteen's generous spirit, sidestepping the partisan fray was no retreat from politics, no surrender to cynicism. To invoke another song from the album, one that Mr. Springsteen himself, in his endless self-doubt and quest to get things right, worried was too simplistic about all the compromises that come with being a grown-up in America.